went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at spineboyhv@gmail.com. That's spineboy, H as in Harry, V as in Victor, @gmail.com. Come to a free class. Simply get a hold of me because I'd be happy to answer your questions and give you as much understanding as I can give you so that you can take control of your health and your life. And the person that helps me do that every week is he's in studio with me. He's across the studio. His name is Mark Sabin, and he's an extraordinary individual, an extraordinary human being, and somebody that I'm happy to call my friend. And we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, my friend, Rick. It's always a pleasure to be here and to be able to have these conversations with you, which we're able to do every week. And now that we're getting closer to the end of the year, we're into November. You know, this is the Thanksgiving season. It's the holiday season coming up on us. And November is a month that's associated with a particular organ in the body, according to the Chinese medical theory. It's the five element theory. And it's the element is metal. And the organ is your large intestines. So that's really a major part of your digestive system. And your digestive system, as we've discussed many times on this show, makes up about 70% of your immune system. So let's talk a little bit about that if we could.
Absolutely. What would you like to know?
Well, you know, in this time of year, you say it's about dealing with the organs of elimination. So why is this time of year the best time for elimination?
Well, when dealing with the Chinese five elements of health, the body is divided up into five elements, with each element having a time of year the energy is highest, making it the best time of year to support that particular organ or gland within the element that the time of year is associated with. And in the fall, it is the metal element, which contains the lungs, the large intestine, and the skin. So this particular month, we deal with the health of the large intestine, the final organ for absorption and elimination of our solid food materials needed for maintaining our health. So this is a very important organ.
And why is it that people have so many problems with their large intestine?
That's a great question, Mark. Well, it's simply because we abuse it and we disrupt it in so many different ways, as many as 14 different ways every single day, Mark. And it needs to be stopped ideally, or people at least need to be aware of what they are doing to themselves to keep the healthcare industry in business and all the other ancillary businesses that feed off of healthcare in business as well.
So, I mean, the large intestine, it's associated with elimination, and but why is it called the large intestine? I mean, isn't it actually smaller than the small intestine?
Well, it's smaller in length, yes.
Ah.
But it's larger in diameter, hence why they call it the large intestine.
Mm-hmm. So why do you need two intestines? I mean, is that similar to, I know cows have like four stomachs. Is it similar to that?
We have two different functions, Mark. One is for absorption and assimilation of our food, and one is for absorption of water. And so the small intestine is more about food absorption, and the large intestine is more about water absorption.
Uh-huh. So does the large intestine do more than, well, you just said it absorbs water. So how does that work? I would think that your water would be absorbed in your stomach.
No, the stomach is actually designed to break down your proteins. It's where the strong acids are. So it takes the more complex foods, the fibery type foods, and the proteins, and with the strong acids of hydrochloric acid, it helps to break them down into their component parts before they leave the stomach to go into the first part of the small intestine. And that's where you're going to be absorbing your food. And then as the waste materials move their way down through, you're given lots of time, energy, and effort in order to absorb as much nutrition as possible to make this wonderful body that we have work, and then empties into the large intestine, where the large intestine gets to either hold on or let go of whatever is left based upon what the body needs, based upon the communication that it gets from all the other areas within the body.
And that makes me think that since the large intestine, which is sort of the last stop on the digestive tract, is absorbing the water, you really need that water to help move the food through your stomach and through your small intestine. It'd be very important to be hydrated.
Absolutely. You know, the kidneys, which is in charge of our hydration, actually takes most of our water from the large intestine. And
uh-huh.
So when the body doesn't take enough water in,
yeah,
the kidneys, which is your most important organ, in order for it to survive, it's going to pull water from whatever source it can in order to maintain their function. So if it sucks all the water out of your intestinal system, what do you think that does to the contents within the intestine and its ability to move through in a timely fashion?
It's got to dry it out and make you probably constipated.
That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other condition, which is the opposite of that, where it's too liquidy,
mm-hmm.
and you run that out the other end, and that's a byproduct of the body trying to get rid of an irritant. And the best way to do that is to liquefy it so that it'll run out faster than if it's solid, because solids are eliminated in a slower fashion.
So that's not because you're drinking too much water?
Typically not, no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's usually for, some pathogen that's in the food or something that...
Yeah, and your body's trying to... It's ideally, all diarrhea is about a gallbladder irritation, and the gallbladder then tells the large intestine, let it go. Just let it all go. Just let it run right out the other end. We couldn't get it to go out through the mouth, so now it's your job to let it go out through the other end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I know I've heard of something called a bowel obstruction. What causes a bowel obstruction?
Lots of things. Scar tissue, poor health of the microbiome, dehydration, lack of fiber, constrictors. There's many different things that would create an obstruction within the bowel.
I mean, oftentimes you've heard about people having to have surgery for a bowel obstruction.
Yeah, those are where you get constrictors within the bowel itself, which then stops the motility of the bowel, and then things kind of back up and they create the obstruction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another question is, what causes all the gas that people have? I mean,
it's interesting because I know a lot of people suffer from gas and bloating when they eat, and this is a result of the dysbiosis related to too much yeast and candida in the microbiome, not enough good probiotics, and poor transit time and breakdown of the food that we eat. So it's important to make sure that your intestines are doing the job the way that they're supposed to and stay on top of that. You know, it's interesting. I remember several years back when I was growing up, when Eddie Murphy was really popular, at the beginning of one of his video comedic acts, he's standing there and he's getting ready to get on his own personal jet. And he has the camera zoom into the palms of his hands. And I remember him saying that this is the inside of Eddie Murphy's colon, and the key to happy life is a healthy colon. And he was saying that, you know, tongue in cheek, but at the end of the day, it's pretty accurate. If your colon's working pretty well, your body's doing the job that it's supposed to, because your colon is in charge ultimately about what you hold on to versus what you let go. And if it's letting go of things in a normal, regular fashion, it's because your body's doing its job.
Okay. Another question. What is ulcerative colitis?
Well, it's an interesting condition. It's ulcerizations of the colon resulting in bleeding and cramping and pain and uncomfortable lower belly into the pelvis, and may lead to uncontrollable bowels, etc. And what I have found personally in the years that I've treated people with ulcerative colitis is the fact that they've got some sort of parasitic infestation that's creating the dysfunctional bowel that's causing the ulcerizations.
I think we've done whole shows on parasites and the problems that can result from that.
We have.
Now, colorectal cancer is the second most prevalent cancer in the United States. Is this why they recommend that people over 50 get those colonoscopies?
Yes, but to find things to treat and to make money mostly, Mark. And it usually shows up in a person's 50s, hence why they recommend the colonoscopies at that particular time in a person's life. And if we address the underlying cause of the concern, we wouldn't need to subject ourselves to passive treatments of major health issues like having colonoscopies in an effort to check for colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. If we ate real food and had enough probiotics, and we didn't lead a pro-inflammatory lifestyle and have issues with constipation and diarrhea and back and forth and pathogens getting into the system, then we wouldn't have to worry about things like colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm.
And are there dangers with that sort of procedure of having a colonoscopy?
Absolutely. There's a higher degree of perforating a bowel with a colonoscopy than there is in finding colon cancer. So you need to ask yourself, do I need to create a problem by having a colonoscopy even though my bowel habits are balanced and healthy, or do I want to take the chance they could puncture my bowel, perforate the bowel by doing a colonoscopy and create serious complications that I really didn't need to have? So based upon the transit time that you have related to your bowel, if you're moving your bowels regularly, you don't ever see that, you know, you don't have to strain very much, you don't have lots of constipation, etc. If your bowels are functioning in a normal fashion, mm-hmm. and you're relieving your bowels two, hopefully three times a day, because that's how long it takes for food to go through you. If you're eating three times a day, you should be going three times a day.
Wow.
And if you're doing that in a normal fashion and, you know, things are going through you in an easy fashion, then there's really no telltale sign that's saying that you should go get a colonoscopy done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have complications with your digestion, if you get a lot of pain and discomfort and all of that, go have the colonoscopy and make sure that everything's okay.
Okay. Okay. What is irritable bowel syndrome?
It's a different classification of a bowel concern. According to the powers that be, it is a common disorder that affects the large intestine. Signs and symptoms include cramping, abdominal pain, bloating, gas, and diarrhea, and/or constipation, or both. Now, irritable bowel syndrome is a chronic condition that you need to manage long term. Now, on the other hand, if you're coming into my office, okay, we just fix the problem so that you don't need to have it for the rest of your life, and you don't need to always be mindful of where the bowel is because you never know when you're going to, quote, have an accident. You know, you hear the commercials or you see the commercials on the radio or television where, you know, the guy wants a seat preferably close to the bathroom kind of thing, and, you know, then they dramatize the condition very well in these commercials, and they make people feel that you're right, I have that. So yeah, I'm tied close to the bathroom kind of thing, and I can't lead a normal life. That's really when you want to give me a call so that we can fix the problem, and then you can go back to a normal life.
Right. It's a difference between fixing the problem and managing the problem.
Right.
What is Crohn's disease?
Crohn's disease is another inflammatory bowel disease type thing. It's caused by inflammation of your digestive tract, which can lead to abdominal pain, again, severe diarrhea, fatigue, weight loss, malnutrition. And the inflammation caused by Crohn's disease can involve different areas of the digestive tract in different people. They say it's incurable, and yet I've fixed this many times over the years as well, all without medication. So it just depends upon the approach that you're taking. You can take the approach of lifetime medication. You can take the approach of the medication's not working, now they want to do a bowel resection. Or you can take the approach of coming to see me and keep all your pieces, parts, and not have the problem anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that's becoming more in the forefront of people's minds these days is there's so much talk about gluten intolerance and gluten-free diets. Are wheat and gluten the main culprits in these large intestine issues?
Well, they can be if you are gluten sensitive, and for many people it's not a concern, but for those that it is a concern, what we're seeing is the children that are being born, they are gluten intolerant. Why? Because what we've done with our farming practice is to wheat and the other gluten type grains and the effect that it has, so that the digestive system and the microbiome in these younger kids, they actually don't like it and don't want to deal with it. So the nice thing is that we've created a whole industry within the food industry that's all gluten-free and for those people with gluten sensitivities. But when you over-refine a grain and when you genetically modify it and you make that a main staple, when you over-utilize something, you're going to have a tendency to develop a sensitivity. And it may take a couple of generations before that happens, which is why we need to be really mindful and we need to be really respectful of nature and how nature makes food. And we as science shouldn't be modifying it in any way, shape, or form, because we have no idea what kind of consequences and what kind of negative effects that we are creating. And it keeps the medical profession in business.
Right. I mean, when you change the structure and the DNA structure and the chemical composition of a food, then you change the way your body's got to be able to digest it and break it down and absorb it.
Right.
So another problem that people are facing more and more frequently, it seems to me, is problems with dairy.
Well, dairy is actually quite easy. They lack the enzyme needed to digest dairy. They have a dysbiosis, and the dairy has been processed to eliminate the natural digestive enzymes found in all dairy. The enzyme is usually destroyed in the heating of the dairy, and some people cannot make up for that by having a sufficient amount of that enzyme themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes a question of, If you're having pasteurized and homogenized milk, they've killed the enzyme that's naturally in that. So you may need to take a lactate or something along those lines in order to process the dairy. If you can get raw milk, that's a more better.
More better.
Yeah.
It's hard to come by. Now, what are some of the other conditions you might see from large intestines imbalances?
Well, that's just it, because it doesn't confine them to the large intestine. So you might see upper respiratory infections. You might see asthma. You might see pneumonia, psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, dandruff. Then we get back into the colon with colitis, diverticulitis, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, chronic constipation, and/or diarrhea. These are some of the conditions that are related to having a large intestine imbalance, but those that affect the lungs and the skin are also related to the large intestine.
How so?
Well, within the Chinese five elements that we mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, this particular element that we're in right now is called the metal element. And right. The metal element is the relationship between the lungs, the large intestine, and the skin. And so one can influence the other. So a particular bowel condition can create stress within the lungs, causing respiratory issues, you know, asthmas and bronchitises, or it can show up within the skin like a rosacea or psoriasis or eczema.
Uh-huh. Now, people who are having difficulty letting go or releasing, they may be experiencing muscular issues. So what are the muscles that are associated with the large intestine?
Well, the muscles in the low back, specifically called the quadratus lumborum, not that the listener needs to understand that, but it's a major stabilizer of the pelvis. You got a muscle on the side of your thighs called your tensor fasciae lata, and the muscles at the back of your thighs, known as your hamstrings, those are all related to the large intestine.
So if you were having large intestine issues, might you have issues with those muscles?
You might have issues with those muscles, and if you're smart, you'll go to a provider that can help you understand that there's also a correlated issue with your large intestine. And maybe if you treat the large intestine and address that, then those muscle problems will go away totally on their own.
Mm-hmm. So you might seek the help of somebody like yourself, like a chiropractor, if you're having those muscular issues. But there's more to treating the large intestine than just dealing with those muscular issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's about reconnecting the circuits, making sure the body has the proper ingredients in which to digest and assimilate the food, and make sure that there's balance within the large intestine so that it doesn't outsource some of its negative energy out to those muscles, causing those muscles to dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. And other food sensitivities, you know, we didn't talk about, like, I see a lot more peanut allergies, where these can be really devastating for families if somebody has that.
They can create a thing called anaphylaxis, where the person actually stops breathing because their throat swelled closed.
And
you know, this again has to do with, it's interesting because when I was a kid and I went to the Bronx Zoo when I was a real young kid, you'd walk into the Bronx Zoo and they would have these peanut sellers that would sell you roasted peanuts, and you get them in the shell, you get a whole bag of them, and then you walk around the zoo eating these roasted peanuts. But when you got to the primate area where the monkeys are kept, there were always these big huge signs on the front of the cages saying, please do not feed the monkeys peanuts, because it'll kill them. And at the end of the day, I remember sitting there when I was 4 or 5 or maybe 6 years old, something way, way young. And I'm sitting there saying, well, if we're related to monkeys, then why is it okay for us to eat them? And now here we are several generations later where kids can't eat peanuts anymore, where they sometimes don't even serve them on planes because of the kind of reactions that people have as a result of peanuts.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, I know. And my kids in school, they have the peanut-free tables and classrooms where they don't allow peanuts in there and all kinds of things.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad.
Yeah.
It is sad, especially because my kids happen to like peanut butter. So.
Right.
Well, this is a great conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about some of the questions and issues that people may have related to their large intestine and the process of elimination.
Absolutely. But if you could listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 and Building 400. And best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. It is my cell phone. Please don't text me. It never receives texts. It's just designed to receive phone calls. And the best phone number is 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at spineboyhv@gmail.com. That's spineboyh as in Harry, V as in Victor, @gmail.com. And it would be my pleasure to answer your questions related to your health concerns. And today, Mark and I have been talking about the health of the large intestine, and I believe you probably have several more questions, Mark.
Oh, indeed I do, and I wanted to turn our attention now to the microbiome. This is something we've discussed before at length. And the microbiome is made up of living organisms in your large intestine. What do those organisms do?
They digest your food, they create hormone precursors, support your immunity, and allow you to be healthy when it's in balance, and it allows you to be unhealthy when it's out of balance.
Mm-hmm. So now all these microbes that are living in your digestive tract, they also influence your sense of well-being.
They affect every aspect of your health, your emotional health, your well-being, your hormones, your inflammation, your digestion, bone health. Everything derives from this working or not working, Mark. So when you have a dysbiosis or an imbalance within your microbiome, you're going to have health issues.
And the other thing is that the belly is kind of a second brain. And is this something that's part of your understanding of what it means to be human?
It's part of the nervous system called your enteric nervous system. And it's what your second brain, and it lines the whole digestive system tube and regulates all of the digestive and immune system functions. And it's needed to protect the body from what's getting in and making sure that things don't get in that don't belong in. So that microbiome, that second brain, that belly brain, if you will, is in charge of regulating all of that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll get a sensation in the pit of your stomach when something bad is taking place. And how do those sensations that you get like that affect your health?
Well, it causes us to be on high alert. And the high alert sensation leads to various thoughts and actions, and sometimes the actions are bad for us. Eating sugar is the biggest and worst of these responses that can happen when a person's stressed out and is on high alert. So you just want to be mindful of not being in a high alert state all the time. Way back in the day, maybe, I don't know, 1% to 5% of your day would be in an alarm phase, and 95% to 99% of your day would be in relaxation, digestion, healing mode. Well, nowadays, we spend 95% to 99% in alarm mode, and we spend maybe 1% to 5% in relaxation, digestion, healing mode, which is why we have so many digestive issues, because we're not managing our stress very well, and the microbiome directly ties into that in its mm-hmm. physiological responses.
We kind of get addicted to these stresses, too. I mean, you know, the media and all these things that you go on, they're always keeping you in that kind of alarm mode.
Right. That's by design, because that creates issues, and they understand that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you work with the relationship between the emotions of the body and the functions of health, so tell me a little bit more about how the belly and the brain relates to your emotions.
Well, it affects the feeling of these emotions based on the balance within the system. And so when a person feels anger or frustration, that's going to affect the liver with some spillover into the gallbladder. When somebody feels lost or vulnerable, that's going to affect your small intestine. When somebody's dogmatic or rigid in their way of thinking, that's going to affect the large intestine. So we got different emotions that impact how different organs or glands function. Mm-hmm. And so your emotional state directly impacts how the body functions as a whole because of the impact that it has on those organs or glands.
It actually affects all the other organs in the body.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, all of it's part of the same body and the same mm-hmm. system. And so, yeah, it's hard not to have the whole body be affected when something's going wrong within the body.
Right. Now, I know, you know, some people, especially I'm thinking about people that carry their weight in their belly, in their lower gut. Is that an indication that there's a dysbiosis or an imbalance in the large intestine?
There's definitely that dysbiosis. The person definitely consumes too much sugar, and the person definitely doesn't burn the sugar that they're consuming, which is why it starts to accumulate as belly fat.
Mm-hmm. But what about if the fat was to be on their hips or other places in the body?
Well, that's typically the female's response. They will get it on their thighs and hips and buttocks, and men have a tendency to put it on their belly. So it's just kind of the physiological storage place that separates men from women.
Is that because you're having problems eliminating, or because you said it, you're having too much sugar, but wouldn't your body just be able to eliminate it when you have excess?
Well, the challenge is when you take in too much sugar and you start to create that dysbiosis that we've talked about, where you now get an overgrowth of yeast and candida, that causes you to have dysregulation of how you digest your food and how your body processes sugar. And you get a signal from the liver, because it's drowning in sugar, the liver to the pancreas, telling the pancreas to store that sugar. And so those sugars get converted over to triglycerides, which is then stored as fat. So that's the body's way of taking the incomplete food stuff that we're eating, which is what refined sugar is, and it's saving it for a rainy day for when the other ingredients come along. But because they've refined all of those essential ingredients out of our food in an effort to create a shelf life, now we don't necessarily have the ability to burn that, so we spend too much time storing, and that's what leads to obesity.
Isn't there a way for the body to stop storing that?
Eat real food.
Well, that's a concept.
Obesity is a starvation disease. If you're eating food that's been completely stripped of its nutrition, then you're going to store all of it because your body's waiting for it to have enough of the right nutritional ingredients in order to process the food. So if you're eating crap food, the completely refined and processed foods that we talk about, you're going to spend more time storing that food than burning it for fuel. Why? Because it's been completely refined and processed and stripped of all of its real nutrition.
But if you were to, say, deprive yourself of the calories that you would need to keep going, then eventually your body starts to burn off those excess stored calories and fat.
But it really doesn't.
It doesn't.
Okay. Starvation shuts your body down. It doesn't help you burn more because you're not feeding it. So there's no fire being built. So there's no way. The furnace isn't on, so you can't actually burn the calories. So if you want to lose weight, the best way to lose weight is to eat real food and eat lots of it, because that will help to clean out your stores.
So that's very interesting, because now rather than going into some kind of deprivation or starvation mode in order to lose weight, you're saying you actually have to eat massive amounts of food. It just has to be the right foods that you're eating, and then the weight will actually start to come off.
Right. I mean, we've talked about my former patient, Leslie, who came to me. She was over 300 pounds, and she was 28 years old or 29 years old and totally disabled and walked with a cane and couldn't use her right arm and this, that, and the other thing. And over the course of 18 months, we helped her lose 165 pounds with no exercise, because she couldn't exercise. And all we did was feed her body real food. We gave her real whole food supplements to supplement her diet. We got her away from all the crap that she was eating. And the weight literally fell off her body.
Without even exercising.
Right.
That's amazing. So, now, I mean, your body needs to get rid of the waste products in your digestive tract. Does the large intestine also help you get rid of negative emotions?
It does. Only if your large intestine is working properly, and if you allow the normal peristaltic action that's supported by belly breathing. The belly breathing helps create a pumping action, which helps to massage the food through your digestive system so that it gets to the end of your large intestine, and then you can excrete it out of you. If that's working in a timely fashion in an appropriate way, then yeah, letting go of your food is also one of the ways that you can help to let go some of the emotions. And when you're holding on to your emotions too strongly, okay, that person tends to be constipated, because the emotional holding influences the release of the physical material that your body needs to excrete.
So interesting how the two things can be so related, your emotions and your actual physical capabilities.
Well, we are emotional beings.
We are, indeed.
And we are physical beings. And we are both emotional and physical beings at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, it's not hard to see the relationship that there is a balance that goes on between us physically and emotionally.
But most of the time when you're dealing with somebody that's treating a health condition, they're treating the physical. They're not really including the emotional.
And that's what makes some of our healthcare system limited, and its ability to address the whole problem, mm-hmm. which is why holistic health care is so important, because you're looking at the situation from as many different perspectives as possible. In my office, we look at it from 7 different perspectives, which I feel is the most complete way. I don't know if there's an 8th item on the that I don't necessarily understand or have a technique for. So there's the mental and emotional, there's the physical, there's the allergy, there's the structural, there's the physiological.
How is that different than structure, physiology?
Well, physiology has to do with how your body processes things.
Mm-hmm.
Structure has to do with your spine and the bones within your body that helps you move around.
Gotcha.
Okay. And after physiologically, the last one is spiritual, because we are spiritual beings, and you could have a spiritual issue that's impacting how your body functions as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now, we were talking about how the large intestine is about letting go, but the tendency in our culture is to push feelings away in order to be better accepted by people in society. And how does the pattern of suppressing your feelings relate to the energy of the large intestine?
Well, if you're holding on to things instead of expressing them, if you are suppressing them, okay, mm-hmm. then you're holding things back. If you're holding things back, then that slows down the whole movement within the system.
Mm-hmm.
And if that holds the movement within the system, specifically the large intestine, and the large intestine is where you do a lot of water absorption, well, if you're sucking all the water out of it, causing a person to be constipated, then you get concentration gradients to where things now become more concentrated. Why? Because there's more physical matter of there, that it's less diluted because you've sucked all the water out. Well, that increase in concentration is going to create the basis for more inflammation and more irritation,
mm-hmm.
which just clogs the system even more.
And so, once again, hydrating becomes very important.
Hydrating is the second most important thing for survival of our species.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're holding on to things until it's really pretty late in the game, what are the negative effects that might have on your health?
Well, it's going to create more influx into the bloodstream, which is going to create the stop that after things enter the bloodstream, the next stop they all go to is your liver. So your liver is going to start to have issues functioning. Mm-hmm. And when your liver starts to have issues functioning, the liver is in charge of all arthritis and all your muscles and joints. So if the liver is being overwhelmed with toxins, it's going to outsource them to their storage depots, which is your muscles, joints, and tendons. And now you're going to get a polymyalgia. You're going to get arthritis of the various different types of arthritis that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start to have that, and then you take medicines to help suppress the pain associated with and the inflammation associated with, well, all those things have to be processed by your liver. So at the end of the day, the solution for your pain issue is actually creating the basis for your body to develop more pain. And
mm-hmm.
that's good from a business standpoint, but it's not good from a supporting humanity and doing the right thing.
And if I recall correctly, the liver is associated with the emotion of anger. And when you're suppressing yourself, a lot of times what you're suppressing is your anger because it's not considered appropriate to express it.
Right. So you got your angers and your frustrations and your resentments and your indecisions. And, ultimately, anger is an outward expression, whereas
mm-hmm.
depression is an inward suppression
mm-hmm.
of anger.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are depressed have actually not expressed the anger that they need to express because they feel powerless, and that's why they end up getting depressed.
So what are some of the safe ways to express some of those emotions and that anger?
Through talking it out. Understand that if you go to a therapist or somebody that you talk to about it, they understand that your feelings aren't their fault. So they will listen to what you have to say, and they won't take offense at it, and they won't be offended by it, and they won't take it on themselves if you're a good talk therapist
mm-hmm.
type person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they recognize where the cause of that is coming from. And so what's important is to if you're going to help somebody overcome their emotional imbalances, if a person's going to take back charge of their own health, okay, they need to be in the driver's seat. Anger is going to be one of those things that comes up because anger is the first step towards giving up your power.
Uh-huh.
It's a reaction to you giving up your power. Now, if you're able to express your anger because you feel okay, you don't like to be controlled. I mean, nobody likes to be controlled, but, you know, if you can protest being controlled to create the change, then you're back in power. Mm-hmm. If you can't express that enough to create your own power back, then you end up going in the other direction. You get depressed, then you get sad, mm-hmm. then you get low self-esteem, and then you just cave yourself in to where you essentially give up.
It's a compounding issue. So what are some of the ways that you could expand your ability to let things go?
Just find outlets for those things, you know, breathing, anything that causes you to breathe more, breathe deeper, breathe uh-huh. more rapidly.
Like exercise?
Exercise is really the main way. Uh-huh. Okay. If you really push yourself to where you're breathing really, really, really heavy mm-hmm. and you're belly breathing by allowing your diaphragm to expand, your diaphragm is your emotional processor. Your ability to diaphragmatically breathe regulates whether you're holding on to or letting go of emotion. So mm-hmm. it's interesting when somebody's going through a whole bunch of grief and they're kind of sucking air in, the solution to that is not take more air in, but to actually breathe out and release the air. And as you breathe out, you let go of that energy. Uh-huh. And that, what is that? That's your diaphragm moving up and down. When you breathe in, your diaphragm should move down. And when you breathe out, your diaphragm should move back. And so being able to breathe activates that physiological emotional processor of the diaphragm, allowing you to release more of what it is that you're holding on
to. And that's the lungs or the other organ that are closely associated with the metal element.
Correct.
That's interesting. Well, this is a great conversation, Dr. Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I do have a few more questions I'd like to query you about the large intestine.
Very good. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worry you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. That's at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please take advantage of having access to me through my cell phone, but please don't text me. If you want to get verbiage and type it all out and send it to me, you can send it to my email address, which is spineboyhvasinvictor@gmail.com. So that's spineboyhv@gmail.com. And I would just ask you to get a hold of me if you have a question or a concern that you're not getting the outcomes that you're looking for, or you want to have better understanding before you make a poor decision to, I don't know, get on lifetime medication or have parts of your body removed, even though you're supposed to have them to begin with. So, Mark, we've been talking a little bit about the large intestine, and I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, you know, I know that you have studied a variety of healing techniques from around the world, and I believe that all of them are really just have their way of supporting the body's natural state, which is always to move towards healing.
Yes, Mark, it's our natural state of being, and it's always prompting us to address our process when we go out of balance. So when one gets a symptom, you've lost greater than 60% of normal functioning. And that's really getting your attention that you need to move back in the right direction. You've gone off path, and we've discussed this before, and it's not a punishment. It's just a reminder that you've gone off path, and so it's God's way of getting your attention to let you know that you've gone off path, and please gently come back more into the normal alignment of where more things are more agreeable and more in harmony. And so everything is about maintaining homeostasis or maintaining harmony within your own body and learning how to manage yourself so that you're always in balance and harmony with yourself.
And that's really at the core of what your practice is about helping others to cultivate their body's natural capacity for healing.
Absolutely.
So Is that similar to, say, the way a farmer grows a crop by sowing the seeds and weeding and watering and letting nature take its course?
Well, it is, Mark, and you must tend your garden if you want to reap the rewards of life, and so that means tending your own personal garden. And we have to understand that our body is a self-healing mechanism. You get a cut, what typically happens, Mark?
It's going to heal.
Why?
The body's just going to take care of it and start to put it back together the way it was originally.
Right. And so the challenge is when you start to accumulate health concerns where the body isn't healing, you need to address the why, because if the body is a self-healing mechanistic organism and it's not doing its job, there's really only one thing that you need to understand is what's going on and why is it going on, and then what can we do to address that?
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that you use to address that very thing is that there are complementary nutritional supplements that will enhance the body's natural ability. And if we continue with that metaphor of the farmer, could what you do be compared to using natural fertilizers, whereas medicines are like pesticides?
That's an interesting analogy, and I'm going to say, that's a really perfect analogy. You know, pesticides are harmful. They keep the pests away, but at what expense to the product that it is that you're creating? So I would just assume give people real food that doesn't have chemicals in it, and medicine uses chemicals in an effort to push or pull the body to where they want it to be.
Right, and I mean, some of the things that are happening in the way they're modifying the foods, they're trying to get them so that they have better defenses against the pests, but since the food actually has to be, if it's taking the pests and creating it more difficult for the pests, it also tends to make it more difficult for us to digest and to be able to assimilate.
Absolutely, and therein lies the problem. And so what we need to do is we need to do better about making sure that our foods that we're eating are as close to possible as nature, making sure that we're not doing anything to protect our food to make more profit at the expense of our health.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question for you. Are there times that you would say that it's appropriate to use medicine?
Oh, absolutely. If you've missed the boat to restoring balance and allowed the problem to get too far out of hand, then medicine is appropriate until you address the cause of the problem. So medicine is designed to get you out of crisis. If you have a brain tumor that's causing you to have a headache and you have a task that you need to finish, but the headache is really getting in the way of you being able to think coherently, by all means, take an aspirin to get rid of the headache so that you can finish your task. But what does the aspirin do for the tumor?
Nothing.
Right. So you're going to need to eventually address the tumor. The medicine isn't going to address the tumor.
Right. Now, if you can improve your health to the point where you don't get sick at all, then you're not going to need to use medicines because your immune system is going to be able to fight away any of the pathogens that might come into it.
That's exactly correct, and that's what I've done and continue to do every day, and that's what I would like for the people in my community to also do. I think it's criminal that we have as many health problems as we have, and we need to have health insurance, and we need to have life insurance, and we need to have all these things in case something bad happens, but we never teach people how to make sure that nothing bad happens.
So if something was to happen in your system and you come in and let's say a patient comes into you with a diagnosis of Crohn's disease or irritable bowel syndrome, what do you do? How do you tackle that issue?
Well, after we've done a complete history and a complete evaluation to understand how the history supports what we found in the physical examination, we're going to trace it back to and address and fix the underlying cause and then support the health of the digestive system, the gallbladder system, the immune system, and then teach the person through the process on how to control and regulate themselves. Give them back ownership of Whose body, Mark?
My body.
Or yeah, the person with the problems body. Right, give them control of their body because it's theirs.
Mm-hmm. And so are there herbs and supplements that you can take for things like constipation or diarrhea?
Oh, absolutely. Probiotics are best. And take enough to get things moving and then stay there. If you take in too many probiotics, you're going to go the other way from being bound up to being too loose. And so getting yourself to the place where you can have a healthy bowel movement without stressing or straining and pushing and all of that, so that it happens in a natural way and in a non-traumatic way. And that's probably about where you need to be as far as consuming probiotics. So whatever got you to that, that's the dose you want to maintain.
Okay. Now, we spoke about water being really critical to good health. Remind us again of what's the proper amount of water that you should be drinking on a daily basis.
1 quart for every 50 pounds you weigh every day. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you need 2 quarts of water. That's your 8 8-ounce glasses of water that most people think is sufficient for them. But if you weigh 150 pounds or heck, even weigh 200 pounds, 8 8-ounce glasses of water isn't going to be enough for you, and your body's going to have issues as a result because you're not getting enough water in the system. Now, appreciate, Mark, your body's 70% water, but your brain is 80% water.
Wow.
So if your fluid levels drop down, what do you think's going to get compromised first?
You're thinking your brain.
Yeah, your brain, the regulator of all normal functioning. So it's interesting, when one goes into a hospital, what's the first thing they do?
They stick an IV in your arm and pump you full of fluid.
Right. They hydrate you because they know if you're in their facility that you're already dehydrated. So they make a point of rehydrating you and then see what's wrong after that.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you're a coffee drinker and you're drinking 4 cups of coffee a day, which is I don't do. But can you put that as part of the water you're drinking?
Absolutely not. And the reason for that is that coffee isn't water. Coffee's coffee. If you want to take the water out of the coffee, then your body actually has to digest that. The process of digestion and separating the water from the coffee actually causes your body to lose water.
Really?
Anything other than water, in order for your body to process it, your body actually has to lose water in order to process it.
Mm-hmm.
So anything other than water ultimately is going to create some degree of dehydration.
Interesting. There's so many things that are so difficult to necessarily get your head around in terms of this. Although in some ways it's very simple, the ideas that you advocate for being healthy, which are to eat properly, to drink plenty of water, to get the proper amount of rest, good exercise, having a good peaceful emotional life. Those are basic things that most of us were taught in kindergarten or even in preschool. But, this is life. Life is full of complications as we grow older and we have, different issues that face us and stressors and things like that that affect us in life. And so many people end up with health problems, and they have specific health problems that are their own and that they have questions about what they can do to deal with their health problems. So if somebody wants to find out some more information, what's the best way to contact you?
They should pick up the phone and call my cell phone directly. My cell phone is the phone that I carry with me everywhere I go, whether I'm on the road or whether I'm in the office, whatever. So that phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at spineboyhv@gmail.com. That's spineboy, H as in Harry, V as in Victor, @gmail.com. Come to a free class. Stop into the office just to say hello. I honestly don't care. Whatever you need as far as understanding goes regarding your health, I want to be the person that answers those questions for you. I give very generously of my time. Ask any of my patients. They'll tell you that I always seem to be available for them. And you're not going through an answering service or another third party in order to get a hold of me. You call that phone number, I'm going to be the one answering the phone 99 times out of 100. So I would ask you to consider doing that. Any other questions that you have, please get a hold of me. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time, energy, and effort. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger
now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I went rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, 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 on top of that. I grabbed him by the stethoscope. I said, doctor, the reason I came, I'm wise to your little game. You and the pharmaceuticals and your medical insurance pals, you want us to stay ill so you can push your pills, making maximum gain and profit